Welcome back to The Few Football Every Week. Ryan Curley.
Jackson Strickland.
And we just got a fun little episode for you today. Not too much going on in the college football world at the moment. That's kind of bound to happen in the off season. But we'll get into the meat of things within the next few weeks. Just full disclosure, I want to say that my USC decision from last week, putting them in my way too early, was stupid. And I realized that after Jackson made the graphic, and I was just nice about not making him change it. So I have not decided who my fourth yet is in the playoff, but I will soon.
You gotta have it right now.
I don't have it.
No, who's your fourth right now?
I don't have it. Give me more time.
No, who's your fourth right now? You can change it.
Like, gun to my head?
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Wow, that's real creative. It's almost like I have Oklahoma.
Do you? I didn't even remember that.
You do remember that, because I told you they're winning the Big 12.
Oh, but I have Texas win. I don't know, dude. This is. I just think that this is a hard year.
Say Texas. I dare you.
I just don't believe that.
USC.
They're just not back.
To like, back up, you're way, way, way too early.
Okay.
USC is fifth in the nation with returning talent, with like the only, like, notable team in the top 10. After them would probably be like Oklahoma State, then like Texas A&M. But USC is returning 82% of their overall production. That's 7th in the nation on defense and 25th in the nation on offense. Not bad at all.
Which is great, but their defense isn't too hot, and their recruiting class was weak. You know, they're ranked either in the back end of the 40s or the early end of the 50s in recruiting class, and that hurts. You know, you want to bolster the pieces you've missed with young talent, and they didn't do that. I do think Keaton Slovis is going to go off. And I think they have great offensive weapons. I think they're going to have a great year. But looking back at their schedule, it's kind of tough. You know, with Alabama. I forgot about that. I did not look at their schedule when I just sent him the text about it. So, yeah, disregard that. I'm changing my mind. I'll have a more – because now, you know, I'm kind of back on Oregon's going to probably win the Pac-12. So,
just like Utah was going to win it this year.
And that was a solid prediction. They lost – the championship. That's not a terrible prediction.
Everyone thought they were going to go undefeated and just...
They would have been in the playoff if they won that game.
But they didn't.
Yeah, no.
USC will be in the playoff if they win their games. I mean...
Okay.
We can talk about if all day long. But it's not going to happen.
Well, you don't know that.
I do know it.
Okay.
Pac-12 is not going
to
be in the playoff.
Who was supposed to be in the playoff last year? Washington? Well, how did they finish? 7-5. It's tough.
You literally said USC, dude.
Yeah.
They opened with Bama.
It was February, and I already changed my mind.
As you just mentioned.
You did that when the season started. So, that was like a week or two before the season started.
What was your prediction?
Oklahoma and Clemson and Alabama and Georgia.
Wow, you really went, like, off the deep end there with a hard prediction.
Work smarter, not harder, bro.
Then why'd you say USC?
Because I had a lapse in judgment. A lapse in judgment. It's the Pac-12, and they're not even the best team in the Pac-12. I think they're going to have a good season. Potential New Year's Six Bowl in the mix for them. But probably not going to make the playoff. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind again. We'll see. But probably not. I really don't think the Trojans are going to make it. But
so you're saying you're going to Oregon now for the Pac-12?
Maybe.
Who's their quarterback this year?
It's tough. We don't know yet.
Exactly.
It could be Robbie Ashford, but who's a freshman. I don't really trust true freshmen. But their defense is going to be kind of ridiculous, and their offensive line is going to be pretty good. So.
They play North Dakota State. They're losing that game, just letting you know.
Oh, shoot. They play Ohio State? Oh, God.
That's in Oregon, though. That's going to be a good game.
The Pac-12, never mind. The Pac-12 is not making the playoff next year. It already lost. So, looks like the Big 12 just got a real shot at making it.
Which one of those is Music Midtown Weekend, you know?
I think it's this one.
Because it was like the 15th this year.
I think it's
so
this one.
Like,
yeah, I think Music Midtown is going to be...
That's Eastern 12. Tennessee State, so we're definitely skipping that game to watch Oregon, Ohio State.
Oh, we're going to get plane tickets to go there, right?
Plane tickets to Oregon wouldn't be that expensive.
Watson Stadium?
Because who goes to Oregon?
Just get nosebleed tickets? Or seats? We are contemplating going to Oregon.
We need y'all to...
Hey, GoFundMe. Let's start GoFundMe. we want to go to so many games. Please help us.
I want to go to a game a week.
Okay, no, that's unrealistic.
No,
because, please fund us for two ridiculous games that don't make sense. Basically, we know that we don't have that many listeners, but tell your parents because they have money.
No, I want to go to a game a week, dude.
No, that's ridiculous.
Think if the schools around us...
I don't have that
us,
much time for that.
Think about the schools around us. You got Georgia, Tech. Even if Tech isn't playing someone, or, like, they're not any good, what if they're playing, like, North Carolina? You know? That's, like, that's a game I want to watch. I want to watch Sam Howell in person. Okay, look at ticket prices. Do they even have ticket prices out?
SeatGeek.
Yeah, okay, so we're not going to Oregon, everybody.
Bro, the nosebleeds are $300.
$300.
It was worth a try.
If you can get us free Oregon tickets, let us know.
How expensive do you think the Notre Dame Clemson tickets are?
Insane.
It's probably ridiculous. I wonder if it's as expensive as it was here. Probably a little bit less.
No, it'll be less.
Well, we're already trying to go to the Alabama-Georgia game, so that counts as one.
Also, Georgia-Florida. Penn State wideout.
That's the top of my list. Iron Bowl would be dope.
What are some juniors and seniors we want to watch before they go to the draft?
Before they go to the draft.
We're just going completely off on
a
tangent here.
No, this is
here,
good.
But
this is college football, dude.
Yeah, this is just the content y'all are here for, we know.
I mean, I'd love to see Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Well, I've already seen Trevor Lawrence a couple times, considering we're friends and all. Justin Fields,
just
I've not
you
seen.
Touched him doesn't make you friends. Just because I sat next to DeAndre Swift in class doesn't make us friends.
Well, you could have been
friends.
Makes
us best friends.
I mean, what's that make you and Tim Tebow then, brothers? Y'all forget this man interviewed Tim Tebow. Just letting you know.
Anyways, so what we got this episode, we decided, you know, we were talking about, okay, like, who's going to be a contender for the Heisman next year. So we're going to get into that after. But fun little thing, we both ranked the last 10 Heisman seasons. So, like, the last 10 Heisman winners based off their season. And the factors we kind of looked at were stats, team success, excitability, like how fun they were to watch, what their team situation was, like the weapons around them, and the competition they had to win the trophy, like who they were up against. So, broke it down, and I think we should start from the top, right? From the bottom, like 10?
Yeah, let's start at 10.
Start at 10. So, who did you have at 10?
I put RG3 with Baylor.
Why?
We're talking about team success as well. And, I mean, you were the one that pointed out to me, where did Baylor go that year?
There's just some years where you have to just not care about that.
Then why did you...
There were five factors, and there were other ones that mattered more to me at different times.
Okay. So who did you put at the bottom then?
Jameis Winston. Okay, the only thing that hurt me from not putting Jameis Winston at 10 was the fact that Florida State won the whole thing that year.
And he was a freshman.
He was a freshman. He beat out Johnny Manziel. Because Johnny Manziel tried to win it again. That was a year where there were actually six finalists. He beat out Trey Mason. He beat out, that was a year, Jordan Lynch from Northern Illinois was there. Trying to think. I can't remember the other two guys. But so that was an interesting year. But, oh, man. I hated Florida State that year. And I did not like Jameis Winston. And he wasn't
Was one of the five factors personal opinion?
Yeah, because this is exactly what this is, personal opinion. Gosh, I did not like Jameis Winston. His stats were, I mean, they were good. Like 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, but I mean...
Yeah, just 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns.
10 interceptions, that kind of hurts him. I just think it was like a boring season that happened for him. You know, and there was controversy, you know, but there were, I mean, a few of them had controversy, but you know, the whole crab legs thing was just kind of weird and all that. But yeah, Jameis Winston was the worst one.
He's a first year starter. So I put Jameis Winston at number 9.
Okay.
Out of my top 10. So it's not like I put him up there in the top 3 or anything, so you don't have to get that mad at me. But I put him above RG3. And you have your number 9.
Derrick Henry. Which, yeah, same argument. Like, oh, they won the championship. But here's the thing. Derrick Henry should not have won the Heisman that year. Okay? Christian McCaffrey is the biggest Heisman snub of all time. How do you break the all-purpose yards record and not win the Heisman Trophy? Because Derrick Henry's on Alabama and he's in the SEC and everyone watched him and he had a really good last few games. But Christian McCaffrey had a very good every game and he played ridiculous in the Rose Bowl, which I know was after the ceremony. But gosh, like, come on. You know, still better than Jameis Winston, but I didn't even think Henry should have won that year. I don't know what you probably think Deshaun should have won. Right?
We'll talk about Heisman snubs some other time. But
I can make a whole episode about Christian McCaffrey.
Deshaun Watson needs a trophy, that's all I'm saying. Just give it to him now. It's not too late. With that being said, I do have Derrick Henry at 8, so just one up from you. And then that's followed by...
Then I have RG3, so like our top... Our bottom three are the same people, just different order. My thing with RG3, yeah, he had great stats. What was it, like... He 4,200 yards, 37 touchdowns. He was fun to watch. He ran a lot. He was fast. At that time, we thought he was the fastest quarterback we'd ever seen. You know, him and Michael Vick were really close.
And RG3 didn't go to jail, so that...
Yeah, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with him. Everyone liked RG3. But what happened when they were in, like, the Alamo Bowl, you know? He did beat out, like, some pretty good guys. It was, if I remember correctly, it was Andrew Luck's second time being a finalist because he was finalist to Newton the year before. And if, 2011? Is that Trent Richardson's year? I think. So... Yeah, RG3 was great. But team success, I mean, he had some exciting moments. He did have the moments. I remember watching, and, you know, at that point, we're like, that's 9 years ago, right? Or eight.
Eight and a half,
yeah. Like,
my bad.
I remember some of those moments. Like, just watching them, I was like, dang, that was really cool. Which is why he's not at the bottom, but very fun to watch. Didn't really pan out in the NFL, but that doesn't really have anything to do with this ranking. Wish it kind of went differently for him. Had some tough... injury history, but you know, 10-3 season, solid, kind of similar to the Lamar Jackson season in that regard. But yeah, I think definitely better than Derrick Henry and Jameis Winston, just as Heisman years. Not last for me though, definitely not last. I don't agree with that.
Thank you for not agreeing with that. At number 7, I do have the Baker Mayfield. Obviously, I mean, they're all great players.
Yeah, yeah.
So it hurts us to put, like, such a great player at 7, knowing that, like, 6 players are ahead of him. But then when you start looking at these other athletes, it makes you feel a little bit better. They're all Heismans. They'll go down in history. So who'd you have at 7?
Well, I mean, we have the same 6 and 7. We go ahead and talk about it.
Okay.
It's the two OU quarterbacks. We both have Mayfield at 7 and Kyler Murray at 6. And so similar the way the teams finished. You know, they both lost in the first round of the playoff, right?
Right.
So, and of course the whole Heisman U, because then it was this year. Oh, is Jalen Hurts going to do it? And he almost did. Well, not almost, but he kind of almost.
Yeah,
but,
Baker Mayfield had a better playoff performance. Obviously, the double overtime against Georgia in the Rose Bowl, as opposed to Kyler Murray getting stomped by Alabama. But overall, Kyler Murray, he put up almost as many passing yards, 700 more rushing yards, 7 more rushing touchdowns. Like, obviously he was, or no, not 7. Yeah, 7 more rushing touchdowns. He was definitely more versatile on his feet. And
he was fast.
Yeah, he was just fast.
He was a cat.
That's why he was considering, he was a first round pick of the MLB.
The year before.
Such an athlete.
For me, it was the stat line that I picked, that I put Kyler Murray above, and I think it's basically what you just said, was how I ranked them 6 and 7. I think I enjoyed watching Baker a little bit more than Kyler Murray. I really liked Baker as a college quarterback. But Kyler, I mean, you can't deny, like, the numbers he put up were pretty great. Yeah, that's over 5,000 total yards and over 50 touchdowns, so that's awesome. And he had good completion percentage. But
going back and looking at it, if you were Kyler Murray, would you have gone to the MLB or the NFL?
Oh, he chose the right... He made the right choice. It's either go to the MLB and you what? And be in a organization for a few years and not even know if you're going to see the field, or you're an immediate NFL starter. He was the number one pick in the draft.
Okay.
He was the Offensive Rookie of the Year, was he not? Did he not just win Offensive... He did. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year. And he played pretty well. I think he's... And they have the best possible coach in Cliff Kingsbury that he could have in the NFL. Like, out of all the NFL coaches, like, he's the best one they could have.
I think the big thing is just, like, injury. Obviously, you're way more prone to injury in NFL. And, yes,
there's more marketability with the NFL. So, of course, his NFL contract might not be as much as an MLB contract. But he is a quarterback, so it's going to be a high NFL contract. But he's going to get more endorsements being an NFL player than he is a baseball player. I think he'll have more because he's an NFL quarterback versus just another baseball player. Probably right. Is not going to have as many endorsements. So I think financially it probably is a good decision. Either way, it wasn't a wrong decision financially.
Either way, he's going to do better than either of us ever will combined. So that's a sad
way to look at it. That's – you don't know that. You have no – you cannot say that. There's hope for us. You don't know how much we're going to make.
Are you going to be a Heisman winner in a –
It doesn't matter. I could invent something, dude.
Two different drafts.
I could be the CEO of a company.
Okay. What are you going to invent?
I don't know yet, and I wouldn't tell you anyway.
Tell all of our 3.7 million listeners. Even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you. Your secret.
It would be for my brain only until the patent.
Okay, so 6 and 7. And also, one other reason I had Kyler above Baker is we said situation was one of the factors. And he was just a first-year starter coming in after Baker. And to do that in his only starting season, not bad numbers at all. So, I like that. Also, he carried himself better. I know that wasn't really a thing, but I guess excitability. Baker Mayfield might have been more exciting. But also,
I think it was more his charisma than anything that was just kind of fun to watch. But Kyler Murray technically is a more exciting player.
But he also had the opposite of that. Baker Mayfield. You know, he didn't even get to start senior night because of, him just being a complete, immature kid sometimes against the Kansas fans, right? He told them they should be at a basketball game. Like, as a college football player, you don't do that. Not when you're on the highest stage like that.
Yeah, but if you look at that, this list has some people that are just like him.
Oh, yeah.
And we already talked about one of them.
And where are they? I mean, Jameis Winston's down there at 9.
Yeah, but where are they in life? I mean, Jameis Winston put up a 30-30 season in the NFL. 30 for 30 about that.
At 5, that's one that we did disagree on. I have Marcus Mariota.
Why?
Lower completion rate, dude. It just wasn't for me.
I have Lamar.
Lamar was so exciting to watch, though.
He might have been the most exciting. There's an argument for him being one.
Lamar and Johnny were the...
I had fun watching Joe.
Obviously Joe, but
Cam Newton, okay, but that's why the top five, these are the best of the best, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And our top five are the same people, it's just different order. But the reason I put Lamar at 5 behind the other four guys, which if you know who these people are, you're going to figure it out. But, his numbers obviously were great, right? Like, he had more than 50 total touchdowns, more than 5,000 total yards.
Just in one
team
season.
Success, they lost the Citrus Bowl to LSU. They only had 9 points. Like, that's not a great ending to a Heisman season. He lost in key moments. He lost to Clemson, which is part of the reason why people were like, oh, Deshaun should have won. Because he lost to Deshaun. But,
when you look at that kind of stuff, it's not a one-on-one, But which quarterback
felt
is better?
It when you watch that game.
Well, sure, if you want to compare it that way, but also look at Clemson's defense compared to Louisville's defense.
Yeah, exactly. And he had a great game. I'm not denying that, but that would have been his moment. His Heisman moment to me was when he hurdled that guy in week 2. I think it was against Syracuse. That was when I was like, "Whoa, okay, this dude's legit." And then when he torched Florida State, when Florida State was a top five team, and he put up like 51 on them. It was the game day game. It was a noon game, and Herb Street had to run to the booth because they would like did a noon game, which was stupid. But, and he absolutely dominated Florida State, and I was like, damn, like Lamar Jackson, that dude's fast, and that dude can juke. Not just a running quarterback. He can throw too, but
Don't tell him he's a running back.
Yeah, right. For me, it was just the team success. I think the other four guys obviously had much, except for one of them, had better team success. But yeah, as far as exciting to watch, yeah, he's top two or three for sure. Stats, if you look at it, his stats were great. They weren't the best, but they weren't the worst. And obviously, he did beat out Deshaun Watson. But I think top five is fair for Lamar. But like you'll hear my reasoning in a minute why these other four guys are better, in my opinion.
So moving on to the top four, my number four pick is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, so.
Just a little bit more exciting, in my opinion, to watch than Marcus Mariota. More versatile on his feet, obviously. They're both great quarterbacks that perform differently. Mariota's completion rate was much higher, but obviously Lamar Jackson could move on his feet and over doubled his rushing yards, which is insane when you look at, a quarterback that's able to put up 770 rushing yards and 15 touchdowns, and then you double that when you're at Louisville with Lamar Jackson. So Lamar, my number four. You've got a new one in here.
Johnny Football, baby. I had him at two at one point, and then I moved him to three, and I ended up moving him back to four. The reason I put him over Lamar was just there was just something about Johnny that year. College football changed a little bit when he won as a freshman, and he took down Alabama, and that shook the college football universe for a minute. One of those things where I'll remember where I was sitting. I was in my dad's office inside of our restaurant, and I was watching it on probably a TV screen that's not much bigger than this in some little TV, and I'm sitting there, and this dude is beating Alabama, and Alabama's ranked, like, what, one or two at that point, and this guy is just running in circles, running around, finding open man, and he's got one of the coolest football nicknames ever. His name is Johnny Football. Money Manziel, like, he has more than one nickname.
Yeah, and then he goes and tries to trademark like 13 of those nicknames, and
against the point. But he
that's excitability to me.
He was
no, I was saying it takes it out because he tried to. No, I'm kidding.
But no, they didn't make the championship or anything. And to be honest, I don't even really remember how that season ended. I want to say it was Cotton Bowl. I think they went to the Cotton Bowl, but. Yeah, it was a guy that you loved watching, and even, he had so many crazy plays. He was just Johnny Football, It was a brand.
His highlight reel is just so much fun to go back and watch.
Yeah,
which is why I have him at number three. Just one spot up.
Two at one point.
Well, congrats! You moved him down. You had USC at four at one point. So
I have Mariota at three. I have Mariota at three, and here's the thing: Mariota is one of those guys. Everything about him was so cool and fun to watch, the offense of Oregon was awesome. His stat line, great. They made it to they beat Florida State in the playoff. And then, of course they lost to Ohio State, which that was just a weird championship game. But, in the national championship they lost. So obviously like great season for them. He beat out Amari Cooper and Melvin Gore, and he had good competition. Oh, that was my one argument too, for putting Mariota over Johnny Manziel. Do you remember who Johnny Manziel beat out? Exactly. Manti Te'o and Colin Klein. Do you even know who Colin Klein is? He was the Kansas State quarterback that year.
He was a quarterback. I couldn't tell you where
exactly.
At all.
Exactly. There was no
Manti
competition.
Te'o was the one with the cute girlfriend. That was nice. His made-up girlfriend, if you didn't know that one.
She's about as cute as my girlfriend.
Oof.
Yeah, so Johnny, it was a no-brainer, that was the only reason. It was like, oh man, they're defensive Heisman, and I thought that would have been cool, but it was Johnny Football, so that's my thing. Mariota had much higher competition. Like, there was actually a question, oh, like, is Melvin Gordon or Amari Cooper, are they going to win this? And but obviously, like, Mariota won. It was the jersey, you know? Like, they're going to wear a different jersey every night. He wanted to watch. He wanted to stay up late and watch Oregon. Oh, and then, so he got so much exposure just because he played for Oregon. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, what color are they going to wear this week? Oh, crap, I want to watch Mariota. Oh, they're doing this option stuff. He can run. He can throw deep. You know, he was a nice guy. There was nothing wrong with him. Everyone loved the whole Hawaii thing he had going on. Like, everyone...
But, like, how much of that goes into what we were just talking? Like, our...
Excitability. Our you fall in love with the player, you know?
I mean, I don't know. Excitability to me is...
His stats were great, actual dude. Plays. He had, 4,400 yards?
But you're like talking about, like, Hawaiian thing and, like, the fact that he can run, but then you look at Lamar Jackson, who ran twice as much as him.
Okay, and he put up 1,000 more passing yards. And more touchdowns, higher completion percentage. Lamar had a terrible completion percentage compared to the rest of these guys. 50-something. What is it, 56?
56, and it still worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it really worked in that Citrus Bowl loss to an SEC team.
Bowl game losses are, that's different, dude. Look at the regular season, too.
Team success is something we're looked at, though. Anyway, that's my reason for Mariota being over Johnny and Lamar.
And then we got the same top two. If you can't guess them, it's Cam Newton and Joe Burrow.
With Joe at one.
Definitely Joe at one.
It's
Joe Burrow. Like you can't, yeah, can't put anyone out. Like, Joe might be...
I don't think there's an argument for having Joe at one, but I think having an argument for Cam over everybody else is kind of more of the discussion point, yeah. You know? I mean, did you watch college football at that point? I don't know if you...
I wasn't watching it.
Okay, yeah, so this was the first year I paid attention to college football. So, of course, my first favorite college football player was Cam Newton. Big 6'5", like 250-pound quarterback who's running down. He's trucking people. He can launch the football further than anybody else. It was different for a quarterback to do that. It was better than Tim Tebow. It was, you know, he could run better than Tim Tebow. He led Auburn to the national championship game. He came back and beat Alabama after losing by, like, 3 touchdowns. He had so many moments. You know, he hurdled people. He had that crazy, like, 60-something yard run against LSU. Of course, there were, like, scandals and stuff like that that people wanted to talk about. And, you know, the whole transfer from Florida to a JUCO school to Auburn. But I think it was just a good success story, and
it was a great success story. He had 12 pass attempts before that season, 12 D1 pass attempts, at least before that season. A great quarterback, obviously, and a national championship to put next to that Heisman Trophy. So, not bad at all for Cam Newton.
I mean, do you even?
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing next year, but. We know what Joe's doing.
Dude, Joe Burrow had 56... Of course he played 15 full games, right? 56-71. 5-6-7-1 passing yards. 60 passing touchdowns, only 6 interceptions.
That's dude. That's 1,200 more than Mariota.
That's crazy. That's insane. Only 6 interceptions. He had, what, 4 rushing touchdowns or 5? That's ridiculous. He broke records, like, for most yards and touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he broke records for everything he touched.
That was one of the best college football seasons I've ever seen, of just, like, a team success and everything. They dominated the whole way.
And the fact that it wasn't, like, you know, a complete team that's been in the running the past 4 years.
Like, no, it came out of nowhere.
It wasn't like Joe Burrow, like, oh, he was, a really good freshman, and then a better sophomore, and then a better junior. It's like... Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He played really well against UCF in the bowl game.
But, and that's where it started.
And that's kind of where people started noticing him. Like, sure, there's going to be a couple people that, like, watched him before that. But he really wasn't having this kind of production last season. And obviously, like, we've talked about this already. And you've heard it a million times on ESPN. The fact that, you know, Joe Brady came in and Joe Burrow came in. And they just made it happen.
Yeah, it was awesome to watch, and the fact that it was in the SEC, throwing for that many yards and terrorizing defenses is awesome. The dude had 7 passing touchdowns in 1 half. I can't do that barely on Madden. Like, that's hard on Madden. You know what I mean? Like, he put up better than video game numbers in certain games. That was the craziest part to me. And he had multiple Heisman moments. The one I remember the most was in the SEC Championship when he juked out two Georgia defenders and ran to the sidelines and threw a dime to Justin Jefferson. Like a 50-yard dime. It was just ridiculous. Joe Burrow, dude. And like I said, not just greatest Heisman. I think that might have been the greatest college football season ever by a player. It's top three, if not number one.
Yeah, it's scary to say that it's number one because we obviously haven't...
We didn't live the whole...
We didn't live the whole 150 years. But at the same time, you know, is there...
look at it. That was wild.
Is there anyone that, can contend?
I know, Marcus Allen's a name that's thrown out there a lot. And you got to go back and look at the stats and watch the film and stuff like that, but... But, man, Joe Burrow, there was no question. We both made this list immediately, but Joe Burrow won. There was not a second thought about it.
We put Joe Burrow at one and then Jameis at 10, but I ended up moving Jameis Winston up one.
I kept him down.
Another thing I want to say for Lamar Jackson. I know we're going back down there, but it's just another thing that I thought of. I don't know if it's – I guess it would kind of go under, situation and team success. Do you know, how well Louisville did in 2017?
Not very. And let's see. And he was young. What was he, a freshman?
Yeah, 2017.
That would have been the 2015 season.
2017, they had...
2017 was the year after he won the Heisman.
But that was still his last year there.
That would have been his junior season, yeah.
Yeah, they had 8 wins. The year after he left... In 2018, they had 2 wins over Indiana State and Western Kentucky.
Man, they couldn't beat
Bama. They lost by 35 to Georgia Tech.
It's tough.
In Louisville. That just shows,
They let Tech put up 66 on them?
Yeah, really. That's probably the last time Tech put up 66 over anybody.
I don't know. It's usually people putting up 66 on them.
Gosh, dude.
Yeah, no, that just shows, how important he was to the team. That's a big thing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's it just...
And you can make that argument with a lot of these guys.
Oh, for sure.
Florida State wasn't too hot after Winston left.
Even Joe Burrow and company and Joe Brady and everyone else leaving. We're
definitely going to be looking at that. How does LSU respond to all that?
More than 2 wins, yeah. I can tell you that.
But, obviously, if you look at the Baker Mayfield-Kyler Murray thing, Oklahoma, and even after Kyler Murray left, they didn't do that bad just because... Things didn't change that much.
Right.
And obviously, A&M never did. A&M temporarily was good when Johnny Manziel left, but then they kind of went down the deep end.
And they might Auburn be okay next year. Auburn kind of sucked after.
Yeah, if you kind of look through that. Obviously, a running back, Derrick Henry, the only running back on this list, that doesn't change as much, because especially since Alabama recruits well. But yeah, that's pretty much our list. If you're listening to this, I think we'll probably make a post, something to do with this. So maybe your opinions in the comments or in a question sticker of sorts, we'll get that going. Other than that, it was kind of fun episode, just shorter for you plan. Probably more substance to next week, but with more updates to come, hopefully within recruiting and coaching. So
might even have an interview coming in next week, live and in person.
Oh, yeah. We might be doing that next week.
We'll have to...
kind of see how that works.
We'll have to see. It'll be in the next 2 to 3 weeks, if it's not next week.
I think it'll be an interesting story to hear if we do get that going.
Absolutely.
So you'll definitely want to...
Little ESPN listen to that. 30 for 30.
Make it all dramatic with the music and stuff. We could. What if I told you?
We could, for sure.
His friends didn't really believe in him.
Wow.
That was not a bad
intro.
All right. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening.